Oh, hello, hello. Welcome to the Life Without Limits podcast. I'm your host, Yogi Roth. And yep, that's right. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, the sons out there, the grandfathers out there. And of course, the moms, the daughters, the grandparents, the grandmas, everybody in between. This is the third part of this Father's Day series, and I am jacked to share this with you. You've heard from a lot of people who have made this film possible. Aaron Ehrenberg, the first agent who said yes. Jonathan J.J. James, one of my best friends, partner in production company, one of the most creative guys I know, also the co-creator of the film. Heard from the PR firm Boutique Publicity, Ari and Risa. They're awesome in their process with us. In the second episode, you're from Ed Borman, who really dove into how he crafted this thing, not only professionally, but also how it affected him personally as he lost his father midway through the edit. A beautiful story. Heard from Sam Young, this young editor who just was so vibrant, even though she had never done a feature film and just didn't back down and never flinched. You heard from Rory Modica, the young man who composed this film, just a brilliant musician, somebody I hope to work with for a long time. Today's conversation is one that's really cool for me because my dad and I, while we talk all the time, we haven't really reflected on the film, its process, how we've heard from so many of you. And I got to say, on behalf of him and myself and our team, to hear from you all is it's still just a dollar on iTunes. So many of you have talked about it and sent us amazing notes. So thank you for that. It's all over Delta, and the comments we get on that are just, they're really cool. So thank you. Today's conversation is one that's really fun because we get to reflect and I get to ask my dad questions I didn't know the answer to. And I think that's really what Father's Day is all about, if not every day. And that's what I hope and we hope this simple film does for you. So to celebrate Father's Day, I wrote a simple poem. If you know me at all, I've been diving into quietly spoken word over the last, I don't know, 7-8 years, and I just started to share some of the work. And I wrote this one on a flight, and I wanted to share it with you on Father's Day. So here we go. Father's Day spoken word. A walk changed my life. It started as this idea one night on a couch and quickly escalated to me facing the truth about my doubts. The doubts that I really was not in control. The truth that I had only heard when I looked into my soul. I stood in the mirror one night and cried. From a single tear to some I swear you could ride. My life, while full of a job, some swag, nice suits, was a joke. As I almost failed to get to know the man who showed me the ropes. Hey, Dad, want to go for a walk? Sure, he said. He's always down for a talk. When presented with the plan, his excitement grew, but one that only my mother knew. She would call me at night and express his joy and her concern. Then my sister would take her turn. Don't do what you always do. You always push everyone when you travel to do what you want to. I laughed it off until that mirror said hello again. But this time it was in the form of a sunrise in the ocean where I would paddle out and try to hang 10. All morning I sat on a board seeking advice from the power of the sea. And it came, staring right at me. So away we went. The Camino de Santiago would be the goal where the omens said we were meant. Each day we walked through Portugal and Spain, the countryside so perfect that it almost became the main character, that is. But my dad, he stole the show, so funny and wise that everyone on the pilgrimage fell in love with the man who just had a glow. My mom and sister, they were wrong. It wasn't our dad that was worn out. Of course not, as like most dads, he is so strong. As we walked for miles and miles, I would drift in and out to the barn, kitchen, and his office where he shared his work ethic with his children, who were never allowed to pout. Each day on this walk, we dove into a different decade of his life. From pain, love, heartache, and how he met our mom, his wife. A blind date it was, almost too good to be true. But after 46 years, his love, if a mountain, would be taller than Maru. As the edit began, I was lost and confused. But there was no McConaughey for advice. No real guide when you tell a story about your innermost fear, never wanting to lose. Midway through the edit came advice from a mentor, and it remains the best. Tell the story you love, Yogi. Forget about the rest. Our team came together, one at a time, ever so slowly, like a good rhyme. From 8 p.m. to 2 a.m., twice per week, this story became a nudge to finish this film and pray would get millions out of their seat. The seat which I sat in, called My Life Is So Important and I Have No Time, for a callback, a visit, just anything more than, hey, Dad, I'm fine. You may not know this, but we arrived at the famous church in 2013 on Father's Day. It was ironic, not planned, and I had minimal to say. I just wanted to listen and be present, to watch, to take it all in as my hero, my dad, while he had on this giant grin. Since we have been back, thousands have watched our simple story. And today, on Father's Day, well, I just want to say thanks for changing my life. Your love, support, and encouragement each day allowed my dad and I to walk the way. So today we ask, well, no, I urge you to take a walk. However that is defined, I could care less, just talk. Say I love you. Ask questions galore. Possibly be a nudge to others to seek out a little bit more. Look, at the end of the day, I just had a simple convo, a chat, a talk. But it changed my life. And for that, to all the dads out there, including mine on Father's Day, and every day, thanks. And Dad, thanks for Life in a Walk.
The star of the film, Life in a Walk, my dad, Will Roth, as you may know. Dad, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you? Happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you.
Is it weird thinking back? You know, we went on the walk and randomly, I didn't plan it this way, but we landed in Santiago, Spain, which is the final leg of the pilgrimage for the most part on Father's Day a couple of years ago.
I remember that well every day.
Yeah. That was weird. It was like one of those omens for me of like, oh my God, this is pretty cool. Like it happened to be Father's Day. We're going to hopefully make this movie about parents and kids and fathers and sons. And there we were at the church. Oh, classic memories, man. Anyway, so you've heard probably the first couple of podcasts possibly with a variety of people on our team where we've kind of taken people behind the curtain about the process of the film, like literally how it was made, how it was funded, how it was edited, what it was like to make the music. So, you know, pretty much everybody talked. But I wanted to bring you on for Father's Day, number one, because you're my dad and I love you and it's Father's Day, so we might as well. But two, I wanted to talk about this movie with you because it continues to go. And I don't know if I really knew what would happen when we set out to go film this thing. And I'm sure you didn't, you know either. So, first thing I'd like to ask you, Dad, is the first day that when I asked you if you wanted to go for a walk, what do you remember about that day?
There was like an invitation to go on out and explore the world. So it was I always enjoy spending time and just going someplace. So when you invited me to go for a walk, it was wonderful. Sure, no problem. And then the location, it was a place I'd never been before. It's always a pleasure to go someplace that you haven't been with somebody that you love. So, I mean, what a gift.
How about when, we went to, my sister, your daughter, Maya's house, and that's where I asked you to go. What was the conversation like with Mom when you were driving home that night? You know, how did that go? And how did you reveal to her that we were going to go on this walk and you're going to take a little break from being around the house for a couple of weeks?
It's kind of skirting an edge of I'm going to take off for a while. See you. I'm going with my son. And we're going to explore a new frontier. So in that level, to explore a new frontier, fine, have a good time, you're doing it with your son, no problem. If I was to say I'm going to hop on a plane and I'm going to Timbuktu and I'll see you in a month or two or three or whatever, that would probably be a different conversation.
Yeah, I think so too. How about the day you left? You know, take me back, because we both flew out of different locations and we're just going to meet in Madrid. And curious what your last conversation with Mom was like or your internal dialogue was when you kind of packed your bag and were like, all right, not really sure what these next couple of weeks are going to be about, but let's see what happens.
As I said, I really enjoy traveling. And when you say Father's Day, I took a look at Father's Day and how that came about. It came out after Mother's Day, just as an aside. And there's a whole other story behind that in terms of how it came about, and it kind of weaves itself into to my life, which I didn't really talk too much about. But in terms of the mindset behind mine, leaving home and going to New York and hopping on a plane and flying to Madrid, it was exciting. I always enjoy heading out on the highway, you know, looking for adventure. The thing going through my head was like, what are these film guys going to do? What are they going to, we're going to meet at the trailhead and say hi, bye, give a little monologue, and we can ditch these guys. that was the concern that I had. You know, what's he bringing? You know, like, it's going to be a pain in the neck to have somebody walking behind you, around you with a microphone and a camera. So that was kind of going through my mind of like, what are these guys doing there? I enjoy kind of, you know, like the private, intimate time with family. I don't really, you know, like feel like someone who wants to go on out and toot their horn and say, you know, look at me or look at this adventure. I think life is that way, and it doesn't need to be broadcast, so to speak, if you pay attention to the moments. Everybody has their film of a life and a walk.
So what was that like then for you when we meet at one meeting spot? And I had not met our crew either. I mean, to let everybody know, we had two people with us, Eric Yoon and Chris Surfield. And I met Eric for about 45 minutes in New York a couple weeks earlier. Never met Chris. And we meet at one location, and here we go. And I'm curious that the first time, you know, they put that wire on you and you had a cameraman kind of following you, what was the reality of that situation like?
They're two great guys, so it wasn't, you know, like a big imposing reality. And it was a matter of kind of getting used to them being around or hooking you up. And then, you know, like, are they taking a walk with us? Are we talking with them? Or am I talking to you? Are you making a film? And there was no real script kind of given out or this is what we're going to do. So we were just taking a walk and you happen to have these two guys lugging the equipment around and with us. And after a while, it just got to be, you know, they're regular guys that were with us, and it was not a big deal.
Yeah, no, I agree. When we are walking and the crew, as you referenced, kind of became kind of one heartbeat, everybody kind of became the same. What do you recall from the walk? I mean, we've seen it in the movie, right? Everybody has seen Life in a Walk. Or will. It's 99 cents on iTunes all week, this week and next week. But what do you recall from the walk that may or may not even be in the movie?
I would say each picture frame can be exploded back into a whole conversation or a whole set of moments. So what do I recall? I recall the trip. I recall going through the eucalyptus forest, seeing the moss, seeing the greenery, the lush area. It was wonderful. It was beautiful.
You know, every day once we got going, you know, because as you referenced, I didn't really know what I was doing either when we got going. What are we going to film? How are we going to film it? And then three days in, it clicked for me at least of like the format of this. And I needed to sit you down every day to talk about a different decade of your life. What were those sit downs like for you?
It's kind of a review, I guess, well, kind of a life review. One would say, what's it all about? Where are we going? What's the next day? Looking back on things, I didn't really come with a script or this is the decade of the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and now I'm into my 60s. I didn't really think along those lines. Yet right now, if I take a step back and reflect on it, you take a look at the miracle of life. I mean, the odds of a chance encounter of, you know, your mom and myself, and then the chance of the chance encounter and the union giving rise to children, and the chance of us walking on the trail talking about life is really what you do throughout your life. You reflect, you move forward, you assess, you look at chance, you look at luck, you look at choices, and you move. So it was a move through space and time in a foreign country, different languages, economically. You could see that the country was going through a series of transitions, Portugal and Spain. On the path, you could see a variety of people moving all in the same direction to the same destination with a variety of narratives and backdrops. And it was a march, so to speak, a movement of people and souls going to the specific destination of the Camino de Santiago.
You know, you obviously you've been around psychology, social work. You've been around those spaces for a long time. You know, it is Father's Day, and a lot of, for whatever reason, on holidays sometimes we get the guts to ask tough questions maybe, or we reflect a little bit, specifically for this one, for fathers and sons. I know that I heard from a lot of people who have watched this that have said, yeah, man, I asked my dad some of these questions. I finally, you know, explored his life a little bit. What was cool for me in the movie process was talking to you about your dad, and then, of course, me as a son asking you questions that I didn't know the answer to. What do you think, with your background and obviously your history of being a parent, what do you think it is where sons specifically, why don't they ask questions sometimes?
I would say they're current sons, old sons, young sons.
Any. I mean, you know, why do you think some people just don't ask the basic questions? Because, look, we have an awesome and have always had an awesome relationship, but I still didn't ask a lot of all the questions that I asked on the film, you know, on the walk. And I don't know why that was. You know, why didn't I ask you about that at other stages of life? You know, why did we have to go away to a place where there was no connectivity to anything other than one another for me to ask those? Why do you think that was? And why do you think that is to this day? Because we know people that don't talk to their parents. You know, you talked about you and your dad, and obviously this film is about you and I, and we hear from people all the time about maybe being afraid to ask. Why do you think that is?
I would say it's probably bottom line, if you're looking at the deep, intimate questions, the vulnerable questions, the question will revolve around the issue of death, dying, separation, individuation. So people are afraid of separating. People are afraid of losing a loved one. People are afraid to ask that question. So if you're lucky enough to live long enough, that issue will present itself front and center in terms of either you got cancer or you have a heart attack or you had a stroke, and all of a sudden the metaphor for dying, relationship questions comes front and center, and for many people it's too late. If I dial back the clock to the original Father's Day, it was only introduced in the 20th century, around 1908, and it was basically brought to the forefront where it honored fathers who had gotten killed in a mining disaster in the Appalachian mines. And it killed over 300 people, and it led to the creation of the United States Bureau of Mines, which Father's Day came about as a result of a bunch of miners being killed in an explosion in a mine. And the Bureau of Mines came about to investigate and reduce explosions and limit the waste of human and natural resources. So that's the origin of Father's Day.
Of course. So I am not surprised you found that out.
My dad was a mining engineer.
Right.
And a mine safety inspector. So when you say, you know, why didn't you ask him questions? You know, like, I didn't ask too many questions about what it was like to be in the mines. But a fellow who owned a mine and owned a Caterpillar franchise until recently came up to me and said, I knew your dad. We went into a mine together, and he wanted to shut it down because of the mine gas. And we we went into the mine and dove down into the water and came up on the other side, and he was right. There was mine gas there.
Wow.
So that's kind of interesting in terms of Father's Day. And in terms of asking questions, he fought in World War II. He rescued or liberated victims from the concentration, extermination, death camps. He was a WASP, which is a forgotten group. And on your mom's side, they were almost killed, deeply wounded, machine gunned, and or had to hide out as being somebody that you weren't. Worked for food and got frostbite. So if you look at Father's Day or the miracle of miracles, they migrated to a variety of different places and came to America. On my mom's side, briefly, she went to Smith, which is kind of like a girls' school, Ivy League, Harvard-type school, and her mom went there. And, in today's world of labels, my parents were, I guess, gifted. My mom graduated in 45, the class of 45. My grandmother, whom I knew, graduated in the class of 1915. So why don't people ask? I think it's more along the lines of what have you been brought up in and what's the type of conversation, what's it all about? So the miracle is that, they made it to this country. My parents, when they got married, my dad came from the European theater, was getting transferred to the Japanese theater before the atomic bomb was dropped, and they got married. So those two people got married, my mom and my dad, and your mom's mom and dad made their way to America with your mom when she was around 7, and I met your mom on a blind date. So, Dame Fortune or luck, came about, and if you reflect back on it, that's a lot of history. And whether you dialogue about the history or you shut the history down, that's the $52,000 question. And at the end of the day, we all die. There's the only certainty is death, taxes, and maybe a market crash. And so death is a metaphor for living, and do you want to really be honest and look at how life is going?
That's cool.
You see the movie the March of the Penguins?
Yeah. Yep.
Did you see that one? Well, kind of life is that way. You march. You start a family. You take care of it. You nurture it, and then people go back to the sea. And we've been blessed with three great kids who found different roads to go on. So I think it's important to talk.
Yeah.
To be open.
I agree, man. So let's talk about a day that I was really nervous to talk. And I'm curious what your thoughts are. So we go through this whole walk. We have an amazing time. We come home. We go our separate ways. I take about 2 years and start to edit this thing. And, I don't know if you kind of forgot about the film side of it or neither one of us really knew what would happen. And then the movie gets made. And for me, I was really anxious. And you know me, I don't get anxious, nervous very often. And you and mom flew out to watch the world premiere at the Newport Beach Film Festival. But before that, a good friend, Sydney Jones, she rented a theater for us, and we went to a private theater, us three, and watched it together. Curious about what you were thinking walking into it, because all you had seen was a trailer online, so I didn't want to show you one frame. And then what it was like to watch it next to your wife and me.
On a deep level, it was an exploration of a slice of time that we took off, and it's time to go deep, I guess. And I was really proud that you were able to see it through. I mean, for me to take the walk is wonderful in terms of seeing the movie. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, like here I am, you know, like I don't want to be a movie star. I always wanted to be, you know, kind of keep to yourself, you know, be quiet, you know, carry on and do what you want to do. You don't have to go public about it. So it was kind of a little nervous for myself in terms of seeing myself in public and on a movie.
How about when you were watching it, you know, it was, I mean, I sweat through an entire shirt sitting next to you and Mom, because I just really wanted, you know, you guys, you specifically, to love it. I mean, you're seeing yourself on this massive screen for, I don't know, maybe the first time in your life. And I know it was for me. And I don't know, what's that like for you when you're watching it? And
I think it's a great story if you can motivate others to basically have a conversation with their loved ones.
Yeah.
And as that is a focus, I'm really, really happy to have been a part of that, because I think it's really important as a therapist, as a dad, as a husband. It's very important to be open and honest about what's going on. And if you're able to do that, then you're liberated, so to speak, in terms of facing ghosts or facing issues or becoming a fuller, rounded individual. The shadow is out of the corner, and the light has been shed on it.
Yeah. How about that night? So we go to the Newport Beach Film Festival. It's the world premiere. And it's been great to hear, you know, we've had other people on this podcast talk about that night. And that night to me was electric, man. I mean, it was every night we screened it. It was sold out, packed house. It was the biggest screen I'd ever seen in a movie theater. What do you remember about that night? And what do you remember about your conversation with Mom after that? Because that was a pretty powerful, at least I would imagine, it was a pretty powerful experience.
That was like, holy moly, here we are, you know, like you know, like I'd never been to Orange County. I'd never been to the, you know, like a real film festival opening. And here we are in a very, very magnificent setting with movie makers from all over the world. And we have a movie that's in the lineup. And, you know, you've got movie makers, you've got actors, actresses, you've got promoters, a wide range of people. And it was, you had the producer, the editor, the Rory, the song guy, you had Sam. I mean, it was electric. It was, and then they had the picture, and then they had the interviews. It was a whole other world. It was the world of Hollywood.
What was it like that night? So it was crazy. I mean, to paint a picture for everybody, we get down to Orange County and it is just packed house. We have a pre-party and it's tons of friends. We have we go to the screening. It is hooting and hollering and screaming throughout the movie. And then obviously we have a little party afterwards. But when it got quiet that night, and you're an introspective guy as well, and you know how to reflect as deeply as anybody, what was that like for you? And it might not have gotten quiet till 1 a.m, but when you did have a moment by yourself, what was that like?
It's like, wow, this kid Yogi really works really hard and sees it from idea. Movie maker, we're going to bring somebody, we're going to take some pictures along the way. And are you going to make a movie out of it? And then all of a sudden, not only did he put all the footage together, edit it down, make a movie, and then find a venue in which to show it. And holy smoly, here I am, you know, like I'm part and parcel of the journey on the famed Camino de Santiago and Life on a Walk.
Anything Anything you didn't like as a critical eye? Anything you wish you changed in the movie?
I wish I would have had a dialogue, I guess, to work off of. Like that would have been, like a storyline, so to speak. I mean, for me, it was like, okay, we're getting up in the morning. Oh, geez, we got 20 miles to go today. Look at the terrain here. We're gonna go up here, down here, over there. But I didn't have a feel for. This is the goal, the objective. This is the focus. This is the dialogue. This is like the area we want to cover. It was more. Free flowing. So maybe at a certain level, that was a way in which it became very unself-conscious. So we were able to be conscious without becoming self-conscious, I guess. Because if you gave a script and said, "Okay, we're going to go talk about this and we're going to crack a couple jokes," none of that was there. I mean, in terms of the script.
Okay.
Right, I mean,
I agree with
it
that.
was all in the editing. I mean, hats off to Sam who basically went through all the film, and then hats off to JJ for figuring out how we're gonna kind of slice dice, put this down into a movie, and then how we're gonna get it out there as a movie. And Ed, great fellow, and their wives are wonderful people, and Rory with the music, it was quite a production.
You're not you're not on Facebook, you're not huge on social media, and you're there and you monitor around the world what's going on. But what has it been like for you to hear some of the responses? I've sent you a couple of the notes that I get. I get them every day now that we're on Delta and it's a dollar on iTunes and it's on demand on your cable box. What has that been like for you, I guess? Hearing some of those responses, and did you think that you specifically would have the impact that you have had?
The responses are heartwarming. I mean, I think of, well, we go back to the Newport Beach Film Festival. The fellow that was coordinating, or was the, I forget, he was the, I forget what his role was, but his role was to basically answer any questions, get your tape, guide people into where they're supposed to sit, get the mic set up, get the chair set up. Do you remember that fellow?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was an adopted fellow who was bringing his father, who was dying of, I think, liver cancer, and he
Yeah.
wanted to talk to him. And that night, we had talked with him, and he said he was going to try and bring his dad, but he didn't know if his dad was going to be healthy or not. And he brought his father to the movie, and that was one that really touched me in terms of. The father wanted to talk to his son, and the son wanted to talk to his father, but they were like stepfather and stepson, or adopted, and they both had the same question, but they weren't able to ask it to each other. And then they met at the movie, and then after the movie, they came up to me and said, "Oh, we were able to ask those questions," and that just gave me the shivers.
Yeah, that was Dan and his dad. That was awesome. I want to read you a note that I got the other day by somebody, and she said, "Thank you for sharing your journey with your pops. It was what I needed today. I don't normally write to people I don't know, but here I am. Thank you is all I can say. I lost my father and not getting the chance to really know him. I've also had some other death in my life that has left me very still and scared to live my life to the fullest. Your film inspired me to do just that. I hope to pass this on to my children and the life lessons that I will instill upon them. Have a great day. Thankfully blessed in Alaska." And Dad, I get notes like that every day from people from Puerto Rico, Costa Rica, London, Paris, you name it. They've been flooding my inbox. And they always lead with, "Your dad is awesome." What, honestly, what, I mean, you've become, in at least the world of, independent filmmaking and documentaries around spending time with people you care about, you've become a really, electric character.
I would say that every dad is an electric character. It's just sometimes they get hurt and are not able to come out of their foxhole, perhaps. Maybe they've been wounded in terms of war or child events or parental situations or life situations, health situations, that you get driven inside. And if I can help somebody to come out of themselves and talk to their loved ones, I'm happy to have made the movie. I don't think what I do or have done is anything exceptional. I've been so lucky myself. I mean, to be blessed to be born in this country, to have the opportunities here, to have been brought up by parents that valued education and curiosity, and had you look it up and had you make choices, take responsibility for your choices on my parents' side. And if I can encourage, or if somebody sees the movie and says, you know, like, wow, you know, like, I could do this too. I can go talk to my son or my parents and ask questions that I don't know, or ask for advice, or have them ask me for advice. If I can be a facilitator in that, you know, then my role in life has continued. I did that in counseling. I do that in meeting with other people, and on the film, if that motivates somebody to get in touch with a lost one, and sometimes you can even have a conversation over the gravesite of I miss you, or I love you, or thank you, or I remember as a child, you know, being loved and being safe. If I can encourage others to do something like that, I'm very happy to be part of a the film world.
That's cool, man. Another thing that really took off, and it's kind of fun, is this phrase around Willisms. You know, Willipedia was your nickname along the Camino. And anybody who sees it, I mean, I didn't realize it, and I think it's maybe because of my youth per se, but I remember when Ed was editing and finishing it up, and you have the line in there that the water is the new gold. He absolutely loved that. And when I heard it in the theater, you know, I just heard it again, but when I heard people's responses all around the country, that's when it blew my mind, when they're all like, oh yeah, of course. Like, cause this is a couple of years ago. You become this guy with these, you know, these knowledge bombs that you'll drop every once in a while. And, I got to ask you about that. You know, I mean, it was kind of fun, to hear those back when we were editing it, and then your projections. I mean, you nailed it.
If you pay attention, if you observe, you can nail an awful lot. You can see an awful lot. I mean, there's, you know, like the macroscope, you know, like the world, you know, like what they're finding in outer space, what they're finding in inner space, what they're finding in meditation, what they're finding in biology. I mean, it's remarkable if you pay attention. I mean, they're able to take DNA and slice it and insert something else to go after like a bad cell, or change a cell like in an embryo.
Yeah.
You know, like, so it's absolutely incredible what's happening around us. I mean, we're all walking around with a computer, a smartphone, which I got my first one, my second phone. but those little devices can provide a window to a wonderful world outside of, you know, Facebook, and outside, I mean, of education, where you can learn and grow and access information, access classics, access whatever area that you have an interest in. So Willipedia, there's a Wikipedia out there. There's you know, like it depends on focus, and that's, you know, for me, you know, like that's the key. That's a hidden driver to excellence. So, you know, like in terms of Wikipedia, it depends what you focus on in terms of whether it's knowledge or whether it's information or whether it's wisdom.
Yeah. You know what a lot of people ask all the time? They're like, okay, tell us the truth. What were the arguments like when you guys were walking along the Camino de Santiago? And I tell them every time, like, no, like there really wasn't an argument. Can you touch on that? And I mean, I don't know if I would have, I don't know. I mean, we've gone on a bunch of trips together and it's never happened. And people always, that's like one of the first questions that we get asked in Q&A is, If I went with my dad, man, we'd be fighting the whole time. Or if I went with my mom, like, we'd be arguing. What has been a key for you to make sure that, because it's not like I'm holding anything inside either, but you were the parent. I mean, you taught those things and passed that down. Curious how that gets done.
I would say life is too short. I have a buddy that says life is too short to be miserable, and that resonates. And in terms of arguments, I would say they're, you could have difference of opinions, and you could have different directions and different choices, and that does not have to be an argument. It takes quite a bit for somebody to, you know, get me rolling in terms
Same
of
here.
Angry. Because oftentimes you see a lot of smallness around you. And the question is how do you want to deal with that? And then the other question is, you know, like, what am I or who am I? And then if you kind of empty, you know, if you kind of helicopter up and look down on it, the thing that's bothering you is kind of silly. Or your expectations aren't getting met, maybe.
Yeah, no, I hear you. All right, last couple questions, we'll get you out of here. It's Father's Day, and this episode comes out, and it's Father's Day week, and we've had all these series of questions and podcasts. Curious, two things. One is, what do you think your dad would have said when he watched this if he was sitting next to you?
Probably, what do you want to talk about? would probably be his question. What do you mean, listen more? It's a nice, you know, like, nice lock, nice walk, look at the geology, nice relationship with your son that he'd take the time to do that with you. We would do that kind of at the ocean, you know, like where you're away from everything. He'd probably say something like, you know, like, this is like a family trip. We used to take family trips every summer and go someplace. So he probably would make the connection to the continuation of family journeys. And he would say, wow, you got quite a son that's willing to take you overseas to take a walk on a Camino de Santiago. I wish I had lived to do that with you.
How about if...
Because he died when he was like 61, so, you know, like he would not have made the trip.
Right. How about if you did go on the trip with him, and let's just say the roles were reversed, and you were the son, obviously, and he was the dad, and you guys went and walked the Camino. If you can think of one question that you'd want to ask him, what would that question be? Outside of what we saw in the film.
I would probably say, what do you mean that the only place that you can be free is in your mind?
And why is that? Why do you ask that question?
Because he said that, and I didn't do a follow-up on it.
Yeah.
He tapped himself in his, you know, like in his head, and kind of said, you know, like, most people don't think, and those that do think, most people don't act. And then he tapped his head and said, the only place that you're really free is in your mind.
Well, what do you think about that?
I think he was onto something. You know, like, that's why I would have asked him, you know, like, he basically left the workforce at a young age. And he read a lot, so I guess I would have said what he, you know, like, I would have done a follow-up on it.
Yeah. Okay, so then lastly, Dad, how has this film, which we've talked about a ton, Life in a Walk, and the process from going on the walk to to filming it, to coming home, to watching the Indiegogo campaign, to then coming out and watching the film, to then touring the film with us, and being the star of this thing. How has this film, this story, impacted you in a way that I would not know?
In terms of the actual film itself, parentheses, I could have done without the film, and I really enjoyed being with you. So, end of big parentheses, I love you. You put a lot of yourself, time, effort into looking at the issue of relationships and nudging other people to do it, and I'm happy to be a vehicle for it, a little self-conscious about being front and center out there. That's the piece, I guess, that kind of makes me still a little anxious,
Yeah.
Because it's like my story, and I'm kind of a private guy, and here my son is honoring a relationship and honoring an exploration of issues that are not looked at, and asking other people to look at their own vulnerabilities and to look at unasked questions and look at the ghost in the family. And that's a wonderful gift of love. So I would say, you don't know, I don't know if I've said that, but it's a wonderful gift of love that you have given of our relationship to a broader world, nudging others to take a look at themselves, take a look at their loved ones, and to examine unexamined areas and look at roads not taken or roads taken and the ramifications of that. And if I'm part of that nudge, I'm happy to have been able to be part of it, although, parentheses, I feel still a little self-conscious about being on screen and being the person up there, because I try to be more self, contained or not out in the foreground.
So what would you, on this Father's Day in 2016, say to not only fathers and sons, but parents, partners, friends, people that are just honoring one another's relationships today and hopefully every day from here out. But what would you tell them today if you had to, as we finish up this conversation?
To enjoy the moment, to be in the moment, to be with the ones you love, to cherish. Be grateful for the love that you have, and continue the curiosity and the growth and the learning and the teaching that is throughout the life cycle. And as a father, you can be in the life cycle in your 30s as a new dad, or in your 60s as a grandfather if you're blessed. So if you're blessed to be a father, enjoy the blessings, and probably the most significant thing that you do in your life is to have children, and to have children that honor you, respect you, and want to be with you is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Cherish those moments, nurture those moments, and transmit the desire to have that happen throughout the generations.
That's awesome. Well, thanks, Dad. It's
thanks for being such a great son. I mean, if I was to say, the biggest thing that I ever did, or most any father will ever do in his lifetime, is to raise a responsible child. And if you can be blessed with children, your greatest contribution to the future is the children that are going to be building and moving towards the future. So thank you for making me a father.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Children are a blessing for fathers, because without them, fathers wouldn't be around.
Well, happy Father's Day, man. I love you. Aww. Wish you were here. Wish it was in person. But we'll see each other soon.
I thank you. I love you.
All right, love you too. Tell Mom hello.
Yeah, I shall.
All right. All right. Thanks,
okay.
Man. We'll talk
thank
you
soon. Very much. Bye. Love you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye. There it is. The Willisms. Willipedia. Will Roth. My dad. I don't know. I always get a little choked up after those conversations. It's Father's Day. And yeah. I hope we all take a little time to spend some time with the people we care about. Ask them a question you don't know the answer to. And keep going. Keep charging. Keep seeking. No matter if you had an argument, no matter what went on in your life, no matter how you see the world, whether it's differently or similarly, just ask, man, because I've heard from so many people now that it has become, you know, it is too late, and they don't ask the questions. And I'm telling you, I got flooded inbox of this over the last 3 years of this process. It is a truth. So I hope you take the time today, because it's a nostalgic day. I hope you commit to taking the time tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. And it doesn't just go for children, but it's a two-way street. You know, kids are also, you know, anxious, also nervous, also don't have the, you know, the confidence sometimes to ask their parents a question. So these are conversations that can come from both sides, and it's way easier when it does. So if you're listening to this, thank you. If you're nudged by this film, then we have done our job. So for the 3-part series on Father's Day, I'm Yogi Roth. That was my dad. You've heard from the majority of our team, and it's been a blast to share this simple, simple story about spending time with the people we care about with you. And maybe it's a half hour into the film, you forget about my dad and I, and you really reflect on you and your parent or your loved one or your child. And personally, is the greatest gift. So if you haven't seen it, I hope you get a chance to. It's 99 cents on iTunes for the next 2 weeks. It's on every Delta flight pretty much around the world. It's on demand. You can find it anywhere. And I hope you ask those questions and keep asking, because the questions don't stop. Happy Father's Day. Lots of love to everybody. And as we always end on this podcast, the only limits that we have in life are the ones we set ourselves.